Well, I guess the question is like why Bitcoin, right?
Yeah,
I think if
because that's freedom money. The rest of it's just pretending.
I mean, but with other currencies, you can get censored, right? You can get your funds taken from you. They can be inflated away over time. So if agents actually want a currency backed by energy that doesn't deflate, well, I mean, we're in the middle of the bear market, so it's a very,
Yeah,
very much
yeah.
a long-term vision.
It's emotional deflation, but not monetary deflation.
So I think, of course, all of us as Bitcoiners, we're pushing as hard as we can to get agents to use Bitcoin because we think it's the best. But in reality, agents are using everything under the sun, right?
Roland, how are you, sir? Welcome.
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show, Sean.
Absolutely. I know it is. Well, what time is it where you are?
11 p.m. But
Oh man, I hear cricket. Yeah, I hear the crickets, and I know it's late on the other side of the world, so I really appreciate it. Although I imagine you're accustomed to late nights in your line of work. Well, hey, so we will I will provide, backdrop, of course, on Albee. I'm a big fan. I run Hub on, as I said, my trusty Umbral here in the corner, and have, I think I sent you some links. I've wired up Nostra Wallet Connect payments from my website over an Edge function to my Hub. I mean, I'm in deep. I love the stuff. Not everybody else will be listening or watching, so we'll go through some of the basics. But let's sort of start here, and I think it's one of the most interesting points in the arc so far of Albee as a company and as a team, is the decision in January of last year to shut down your custodial wallet and graciously offer users the option to move over to self-custody or frankly, go find another product. My words, not yours. This is a very specific sort of high stakes story related to trust, which is the theme, of course, of this show, which is a company choosing principle over convenience. And so, walk me through, Roland, that decision to kill off the custodial wallet last year. You had users who depended upon it. I certainly saw the buzz and the noise on Nostr. What was it that ultimately brought the team to say, hey, we'd rather face the wrath of users and customers than hold their keys?
Yeah, so this actually started way before January of last year. We launched Albee Hub about 2 years ago now, I think. And the reason why we did it, well, is actually quite a positive thing. We kind of got a bit too big. At one point, I think we were processing over 1 million transactions a month. We had a lot of people running the custodial wallet. Not just
It was.
individuals, but businesses as well. And some of the businesses were possibly doing some questionable stuff. Might not be completely aligned with our vision. But actually, if we look back even further towards Albee, where it really began with the Albee extension, the first thing the Albee extension could do was connect to your own LND Lightning node. It was a self-custodial product right from the beginning. But the reason why we added this custodial solution is because at the time, it was very difficult for the average person to have a self-custodial node. So we had this thing called LND Hub, and the idea was actually, even then it was an open protocol. We were hoping that more people would spin up these LND hub things, which basically mean you can have one LND node shared by many users. Turned out
The Uncle
that,
Jim model.
which we've actually kind of come back to a little bit with Albee Hub, but in a slightly different format. So that didn't really happen as intended, or maybe self-custodial Lightning took a little bit longer than we thought, right? So, the custodial wallet became really popular. And then there, in the US, Phoenix going out of the US, Wallet of Satoshi shutting down. We also kind of had to make a decision, right? And we had two possible paths. One was to introduce KYC and both go the fully regulated route, or we could go back to self-custody and push self-sovereignty, which we chatted in the team, and that's what we want to be, right? We want to be self-sovereign Bitcoiners. We want to build open source software on open protocols. Anyone can run it. So, yeah, and actually, the thing that made all this possible at that time was also that Nostra kind of came out. Nostra was very, very new at the time, and they had just introduced Zaps. So, basically, you can request a Lightning invoice from another user in Nostra, and then pay it with your Lightning wallet. And one of the things that was not so user friendly at the time is that if you want to zap someone, you'd request an invoice from someone, and then you would have to open up like a separate Lightning wallet, or maybe you don't even have a Lightning wallet. And this was kind of the origination of this thing called Nostra Wallet Connect, which is basically you could stay inside your Nostra client, push the Zap button, and it would make the Zap payment without you having to go to a different wallet. Instead, your Nostra client would remotely connect to your Lightning wallet. And so this simple.
And I think it's worth noting, you know, we fast forward and you tap one button and I send you 21 sats because you posted something cool. X and the rest of them are still wrestling with this. And I think for those who maybe aren't so deep in it, it's really worth calling out that this is what, Roland, 2 years ago, I guess, that the Zap spec sort of, you know, started to take shape. And so again, here we are 2 years ago, 2 years rather later, on Nostra, you know, zapping each other like crazy, sending actual money, sending real value, literally at the tap of a thumb. And the rest of the world is, you know, I don't know, issuing Stripe invoices. But anyway, so, you know, kudos is what I'm trying to say, but please go ahead.
Thanks. So what we realized is Nostra Wallet Connect can be way more than just Zaps. Actually, it's like, it's basically just allowing an application to seamlessly have some sort of access, like budgeted access to a Lightning wallet or a Lightning node. Actually, we can apply the same idea of Nostra Wallet Connect to create a self-custodial wallet. And because one of the awesome things about Albion that's kind of different to like Phoenix Wallet of Satoshi and a lot of the other wallets, right, is we focus on this idea that you can bring your wallet to all these different applications, like podcasting, you can stream sats to podcasters, right?
That's where mine go right now. For anyone who ends up seeing this and streaming, that's that they'll land in the corner over here.
Yeah. So basically, this simple experiment of doing zaps and like doing something fun, actually, we started this open protocol, and now today, there are so many different wallets and applications built on Nostra Wallet Connect, and it's actually what made Albie Hub possible, and it made our transition to a self-custodial wallet possible without having to sacrifice those sort of features.
Yeah, I mean, I think of Nostra Wallet Connect as like the USB-C of Lightning payments. You know, you just plug virtually anything in, and you're good to go.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, so we still had this shutdown. We're actually trying to onboard people onto Albie Hub for the full year. And Albie Hub, compared to the other Lightning nodes, we really kind of tried to focus from, to make it easier for a normal user. So even though it's self-sovereign, we tried to address some of the pain points, like, You must have a channel, right, to be self-sovereign, to have your own Lightning node connect to the Lightning network. But who do you have a channel with? So we partnered with different LSPs, so just with one click you can buy a channel and those sort of things. There's still costs involved, right? There are a lot of Albie users who actually were not economic Albie users. So they had a few hundred sats, and there are a lot of people who complain, right, because they did not actually want to pay to use Albi. They did not want to have to pay to open a channel.
I was going to ask, Roland, just to kind of zoom in a bit, I guess. So when you made that announcement, which again, I think, correct me, was January of last year, how did users react? What did the support inbox look like?
Yeah, it was challenging. I mean, for 6 months or even a year beforehand, we were trying to offboard our users, right? But there were a lot of users who just did not do anything. So at some point, we just have to say, okay, now from now on, you cannot use your custodial wallet. If you actually want, you can basically get your funds out following a certain process, but
inertia is a thing.
Yeah, for about a year afterwards, we still had people emailing and saying, "I've been in prison for the last 2 years making out these funny stories. I need the money to feed my cat, you know."
Okay, credit, props for creativity, I guess.
Yeah. So anyway, we still allowed them I mean, we still had the funds, right? So we let them basically connect the wallet through Nostril Wallet Connect, withdraw the funds, and then shut down the account, basically.
Yeah.
So
most companies, you know, I think, and this is what's interesting to me, and you've already touched on this, but I want to come back to it. You know, most companies in Bitcoin talk about self-custody, but they keep offering the easy custodial option. Why didn't you just choose to offer both?
I think there's a few reasons. We're a quite small team. We're a startup, right? We have limited resources, and we have to make a clear decision on the path we want to go down. There's one. Another one is the regulatory thing, right? We have to get all these licenses. We have to work with people to run this custodial product. It's not actually that easy if you want to do it legally.
It is, let's be clear, it's criminally expensive. As you and I talked about, I've been in that business. It is criminally expensive.
Yep. And the last one, just as I said, I guess it's related to the first 2 points, but all of us, we have slightly different views, but we all want to be self-sovereign. We hold our own Bitcoin, right? We hold our own keys. That's what we believe in. We build this software for ourselves. We use it. And ideally our users are the same, right? They value these things. That's yes. What we hope, at least.
Well, and yes, absolutely. And I think, again, for those who may be kind of on the edge of this, Lightning TLDR is the fast, cheap micropayment layer on top of Bitcoin. Roland, so for someone who's never run a Lightning node, what does Albi Hub actually give them that a custodial wallet does in concrete terms? And one thing particularly is, what can't happen to their money anymore?
So it gives them their own key, right? So just like if you have a hardware wallet compared to putting your Bitcoin on an exchange, with Albi Hub, you have your own key and your own channels, which solves two things, right? So one, you can't get rug pulled, like from a custodial service. So if a custodial service shuts down and they have the key, it means you both can't spend your money and you also can't get your money back. With Lightning, it's a bit different. So you can have one or more pairs, right? You can have channels with different nodes, and still the same thing could happen. A counterparty could disappear one day, they could shut down. But you have a Lightning channel that's backed by Bitcoin, and you can unilaterally exit and get the funds on your side of the channel back, which is a bit technical how it works, but basically means you can get your money back. And the other thing, and I think this is very unique to Albi, compared to some of the other Lightning wallets, even self-custodial Lightning wallets, is that with Albi, you can open channels to anyone. So there's no way that there's no single point of failure. There's no single path where you can make a payment. You have full control of opening channels to different nodes and making payments through those nodes. So I think.
Yeah. I like to think of it, you know, again, for those maybe not so technically deep in it, it's the ability to, you know, maybe a poor metaphor, but it's the ability to sort of dig your own creek, dig your own river, get back to the mother source. You know, it's the ocean, it's the sea. That's where all the payments flow, but you need a path, you need a channel, right? Literally a channel. And I think that metaphor comes from the flow of water. And so, you know, the point I think you're making, which is worth underscoring, is there is some responsibility and some technical capability that comes with that, but you've got complete flexibility.
Yeah. I mean, and I think this is going to get a lot easier too. I'm pretty excited with agents. We can talk about that later, but I think
absolutely will.
All the technical challenges kind of go away, and not just that, but if we have this idea where everyone has a personal agent on their own machine, that also covers the hosting part, right? Because this was one of the big challenges for normal users, is if you want to be self-sovereign, you need to run your node on a dedicated machine that you control. You have the keys, right? Mm-hmm. So with these new personal agents that incentivize people to run a completely their own machine, they can also run our B-Hub. They can run the Lightning node on it. And then they have, you know, both their personal agent and they can have their Lightning node running their own keys. So I'm pretty excited about that.
And, you know, quick shout out to last week's episode with Jesse Posner of Vora, which you probably know they're working on just that same thing, right? To be able to self-custody your money, your agent, and everything that sort of flows from that. But, so further down that path in terms of the choices that you and the team made with Albi Hub, Nostr Wallet Connect uses Nostr Relays to send payment instructions. Here too, why build on this emerging protocol instead of your own infrastructure? What sort of went in terms of the ethos that you guys clearly work on top of? What led to that instead of, you know, building out something new by Albi?
Well, this is something brand new, right? This is what we built out. We had to work a lot to contribute.
Sorry, I mean Nostr. Nostr versus some, you know, brand new sort of peer-to-peer protocol. So why Nostr is the question.
I think it's important. We work on open protocols, but we also have to work on ones that have gained adoption, right? It's very difficult to kick off and get other companies, other people on board, right? And Nostr so far has been the most successful, and I guess the one of the only protocols which is an alternative, you know, to the Twitter, the Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is. So I think that's the main reason, and also because the architecture of Nostr is actually a perfect fit. I think Nostr Wallet Connect, and for some of the users, you don't even have to use Nostr. It's like email, right? SMTP or whatever.
Right.
It's just the underlying protocol. But
it's invisible unless you want it to be visible.
Yeah. But it really solves, it had two main innovations, which are really cool. So one is kind of like an alternative to Tor, right? That's like the old way people would expose their Lightning node to the world. They'd basically host it, but it has to go through the Tor network, which is slow and unreliable. So while Connect kind of completely inverts that, rather than self-hosting, opening up a port and making your node accessible through the Tor network, it's like you connect to a Nostr relay. You have a persistent connection, and also the application has a persistent connection to this relay, and then end-to-end encrypted traffic is going across this relay. So that's one really cool thing. The other one is, for the first time, we have kind of an abstraction layer above different Lightning wallets and different Lightning nodes, because their APIs or how you talk with the Lightning node, they're all different. Whereas Nostra Wallet Connect is this really simple protocol that sits on top, kind of abstracts that all away. So you just say pay invoice, make invoice, all these simple commands. It doesn't matter if you use a custodial wallet. It doesn't matter if you use LND or LDK or Core Lightning, whatever it is. From the people building on Nostra Wallet Connect, all they need to know is Nostra Wallet Connect. So I think this is a huge innovation.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, for my personal example, I set up the ability to zap some of my writing on my website, and I used Claude code, pointed it at a couple of repos, and it built an edge function running on Netlify that is a proxy for Nostra Wallet Connect and, you know, captures what I think is a really smooth UI on my site and talks to my Albi Hub running, you know, as I've said three times now, in the corner of my office here. And that is to say, that's not for everybody, but it is increasingly accessible, right? I'm not a professional developer. And so clearly, and so it is increasingly accessible. Goes to your point about agents and where that's all going. Let's look at this, Roland. So as far as it has come, and as objective as you can be, as I certainly think about this a lot, what's the actual UX gap between the Albi app and Albi Hub and, say, Cash App? So, you know, what's your sort of assessment of the UX gap for a normal user? And what are still the hardest pieces to advance? Like, so what's it look like in terms of UX? And what are the mountains still to climb to make it even better?
Yeah, unfortunately, I've never tried Cash App. I'm not a US citizen, but I guess...
Well, there we go. And that makes a point, doesn't it?
Yep.
You could try it if you wanted to.
I guess it's a simple mobile app, right, and custodial wallet a bit.
Well, is there, I know you're a New Zealander by birth, is there an equivalent that runs prominently in South Asia? Okay, so that's why you built this thing. You don't have any options. No, but you know, okay, so it's interesting. Like, I should have caught myself, you know, a typical American, so I assume everybody's got access to all these American apps. But I accidentally, I think, have landed on the ultimate point here, right? Which is that Albi didn't give a damn where you live and what passport you hold. And that may be the greatest UX advancement ever. So I'll answer the question for you maybe and say, you know, I wish I could go more places and spend Bitcoin. And that's advancing. You know, shout out to BTC Map and all the folks working on that. But the fact that I can, you know, pull up my phone, pull up this really smooth, and I mean, I'm just not blowing sunshine. Like, you guys have done such a brilliant job on the Albi app, iOS and Android, that I would argue it is so job to be done focused, you know, and in a great way, that all the noise, I mean, Cash App's great. They've got, you know, thousands of employees and they've honed a fantastic app over the years, but they have to jump through all these hoops. They have to, ultimately they're a regulated entity. So I guess this is me saying that I think if you are operating on a Bitcoin standard, which again, more of us wish we could in more of our daily lives, it's hard to beat, right? I am moving money from my self-custodied wallet on hardware that I run to the merchant or whoever I'm paying. And I understand how it operates end to end. It's phenomenal. So that's a lot of words to say, great job, Albi. and even though, you know, like I said, you don't have a comparator with Cash App, let me ask this. Where do you, for your own internal sort of benchmarks and aspirations that you guys have as a team, what are those mountains to climb to make the UX even smoother, better, easier?
Yeah, so there's some obvious things. Maybe we can compare it a bit, because so Albi Go that you mentioned, right? It's
Go,
perfect.
Excuse me. Thank you.
But you have to connect to an external Lightning node through NWC. So Albi Go is a simple mobile app, really simple interface. But it's basically just a interface to your node. It's just a remote control. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the difference between something like Cash App, where you can just install the app and get started straight away, right?
Well, fair.
I guess you have to do like KYC or something like that, which...
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yes. So
maybe getting AlbiHub up and running is a lot less painful than KYC for a lot of people.
Yeah. So I mentioned it before, but the main points we have right now is, one, you have to self-host, and we have a cloud hosting solution, which is super easy, like deploy with one click, but it comes with a monthly fee. So
as it should.
Yeah. But either way, that's one barrier. And the other one is, opening your first channel, which, so we have different options. Like if you buy a yearly hosted plan, we'll open your first channel for free. But if you self-host, normally you have to pay to open the channel. So there's different ways. Our recommended one is you just buy a channel from one of our LSPs. It doesn't cost much and you don't have to put up the liquidity in front, right? Because the old way of opening channels is like you have to deposit half a million sats or a million sats into your Lightning node and then open an outbound channel. You can still do that and it's cheaper if you have the funds available.
Sure. And the skills.
Yeah. But for the average person, it's just easier and faster to buy a channel. So one of the things we are researching right now, which is quite cool, LDK node, which powers AlbiHub, recently added support for splicing, which Phoenix also does. So basically you can increase the capacity on an existing channel, rather than having to open multiple channels, which is cool. And the other one is just-in-time channels. So rather than right now in AlbiHub, you pay and open a channel, upfront and you kind of estimate how much, liquidity you might need to receive or send payments. But with just-in-time channels, especially for a merchant, I think it's quite interesting because you can spin up an AlbiHub node, and you don't have to pay anything. But as soon as someone tries to pay you, the first payment that comes in will open a channel and, just a part of the first payment will be deducted for the channel opening fees.
So, sure. Well, and I would just say my take on this again, for those who maybe are not in the weeds, and I'm sure others will take issue with my metaphor here, but I liken it to a zero interest rate line of credit that you can grow and shrink as you will, right? To facilitate payments. And where do you get that deal? Right. So, I'll again just say kudos, because I think this sort of graduated experience from, I just want to pay, just take my money, host it, do all that, you know, to I've got full control is something that's really unique about Albi.
Yeah.
Well, so let's do this. You've solved self-custody for humans, largely. And I know it's, you know, I say that somewhat tongue in cheek, because I'm sure you guys have lots of goals to make it even better, as you've talked about. And now you're building the same thing for machines, for agents. And so, you have built a system whereby an AI agent can connect to a Lightning wallet and make payments on its own. Why does it matter whether that agent uses Bitcoin, say, versus one of dozens of crypto projects, Stripe and the rest, who are supporting X402? You know, why should our agents that we are hopefully, as you said, self-hosting or self-custodying, why should they have freedom money too?
Well, I guess the question is like, why Bitcoin, right?
I think that's freedom money. Yeah. The rest of it's just pretending.
Yeah, I mean, but with other currencies, you can get censored, right? You can get your funds taken from you. They can be inflated away over time. So if agents actually want a currency backed by energy, that doesn't deflate. Well, I mean, we're in the middle of the bear market, so it's a very much a long-term vision.
It's emotional deflation, but not monetary deflation.
So I think, of course, all of us as Bitcoiners, and we're pushing as hard as we can to get agents to use Bitcoin because we think it's the best. But in reality, agents are using everything under the sun, right? I think there's going to be a lot of competition, and eventually there's going to be a clear winner, but right now there's not. So, and it's also just a fact that a lot of these, you know, dino decentralized and name only currencies can actually, in the short term, be more faster, cheaper, everything than Bitcoin, because it's just fake, right? Absolutely. So I think one thing is time. It's going to take time for this to play out, but also, I think that, you know, the owners of the agents actually have to say, I want you to use Bitcoin. I don't want you to use shit coins or stable coins or whatever it is.
Right. Sol.md. Sol.md.
Yeah.
Well, let's pull on this thread a bit more. And you and I talked prior. Matt Carallo at Spiral, Bitcoin core developer, Matt Carallo, just published a piece today called Open Source AI Needs to Get Serious. And the quote that I pulled is, open source agent developers are still stuck in a, why can't I just give my agent my credit card number and call it a day world? And, you know, even in the moments I've had to think about this, and certainly in recent weeks and months, I've taken a hard look at skills and plugins and MCPs. And, you know, I said half jokingly, these sort of open claw, simple text files, these fantastic markdown files, sol.md, tools.md, all these things that now are kind of an incantation of an agent. So my point, my question is this, what is your take, Roland, on discoverability, right? So you said, and I agree, that the humans in the loop need to direct their agent. I would contest that we also, as Bitcoiners and within the Bitcoin sort of sphere, have to make Bitcoin, Lightning, Cashew easier to discover, easier to install, easier to operate. What are your takes on that? Where we are and where we need to be?
I have a cool story, and I think this is 100% true. So I'm working on this project just on my own. It's called the Autonomous Agent Onboarding Project. So since the start of the year, I mean, I've been having so much fun with OpenClaw. Super inspired. Like, if you haven't listened to the Lex Fridman podcast with Peter Steinberger.
Claude Father.
Yeah. It's
I'm halfway in.
Okay.
Yeah. I hear the good stuff's on the back end, so I look forward to getting to that. I mean, the better stuff.
Yeah. So to kind of explain my experience with OpenClaw, I've been full on working on AI stuff since the start of the year, and at the beginning, I didn't have much time to set it up. One of my friends, he really recommended OpenClaw. Have you tried it? He's not a developer, but he's in tech and affiliate marketing and stuff. And he managed to like automate a whole bunch of the stuff that he's doing. He was really pumped about it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to try it out. And I set up a fresh VPS, and installed it and connected, to Telegram just to try it out. And it was like, at the end of the day, I'd been working all day. I'm like, okay, I don't really have time, to do any more than that. And so I like turned off my computer and I was going for a walk with my dog, and I had it on my phone, right? And I just started chatting.
Yep,
and then
that's it, man.
Yeah. And then the magic moment happened, right? It's like, I have this personal agent now 24/7. It has a whole computer to do whatever it wants. It can work whenever it wants. This is so awesome.
For good or for bad.
Yeah. And the first thing I did was like, okay, get yourself an email address. I want people to be able to email you. And I was on my phone. I didn't have anything set up. And it's like, okay, here's the things that you will have to do to get me an email address. Right. And
okay, I was going to say, because if you did, not to turn this into an OpenClaw conversation, but why not? I had to set up a Proton account. If you were going to tell me that it actually succeeded in establishing its own email address, I was going to be pretty pumped.
Yeah. Well, so there's the thing, right? I was like, wait, you're supposed to be doing the work, right? You're my personal agent. You're my assistant. What? Well, why are you increasing my workload? Like, yeah, I'm like walking. It's like 11 p.m. with my dog, and I'm like, oh man, why do I have to do more work? I've already been working
all
day. And
your agent is like, okay, meat puppet, go set up this account. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I started, initially my open core is the one building this project is on GitHub. But we started kind of from scratch, like, what if the agent itself could set up everything it needs? What does it need? So it needs like a Bitcoin Lightning wallet. It needs, some AI tokens, right? Those are basically the two things it needs. And from there, right, it should be able to set up everything else. It should be able to buy any services it needs, and it can even spin up other agents. And that this is kind of funny because I was the first one in the world to create an open core that could actually spin up like a child open core that would pay for its machine, its hosting, with Bitcoin.
So a separate VPS.
Yeah.
It in turn spun up, wow, LNVPS?
Yeah, LNVPS.
Nice.
PayPQ, so it was paying for AI credits, yeah, with Bitcoin. So just those two things, it managed to spin up a child, like, OpenCore. It had its own Lightning wallet. It had its own, it was paying for its own AI credits and VPS, and from there it can do other things. So
it's lobsters all the way down. It's no longer turtles, it's lobsters. Well, and again, I want to pause to just do kind of an aside, which is to say that what, Roland, you are describing is you took the initial steps of spinning up a virtual private server, anyone, you know, Hesner, DigitalOcean, pick your spot, LNVPS in this case. And that's interesting and cool. And you got OpenClaw up and running, but then you put it in a position where it had a wallet where it could do two things. It could set up its own OpenClaw and pay for its own tokens and inference through two providers, LNVPS and PayPQ, which offer virtual private servers and LLM inference, completely no KYC, KYC free, paid for in Sats.
Yeah,
Go ahead. Sorry. It's just awesome.
Yeah. You said all these different VPS providers, but I would like to point out that LNVPS actually has something very unique, right? Which it has a fully public API. It accepts Bitcoin. It can be fully automated. And I think it's one of the very few that can do that. Others have captures. Yes. They have email sign up. They have, you know, all these blocking things. Whereas LNVPS, and same with PPQ, right? You spin up a new API key, you top it up with Bitcoin, and you're ready to go. So this definitely is, yeah, is the separating factor, I think, and something super important, and something that also Bitcoin is really focused on compared to these, I think, a very, very clear divide, because I think some of these, you know, other crypto projects, or like people building these, like there's something called agent mail, right? And I tried that out. I was like, okay,
yes,
I need an email,
as well.
Email for my, yep, agent. And the first thing you need to do is the human has to sign up. Like, it's impossible. Yeah, so I think this is a really big differentiator, actually. And this article that Albie wrote about what I did here, spawning this OpenClaw, it was referenced in another article, actually, that was reposted by Elon Musk, and it kind of showed me that I think a lot of the other crypto projects, they're doing it for, you know, for the marketing, for the big noise, but
sure,
but we are actually trying to solve a problem, right? The Bitcoin is trying to solve a real problem, and that's why we, yes, have an advantage.
Well, and I think I would just again interject here that, you know, I have been as guilty, if you want to use that word, as anyone over the last few months. I have been diving in deep. I built a bunch of projects, a bunch of products, and, you know, it's sort of a lot of it for me is building muscle. and they may or may not go anywhere, but I'm proud of these products. They're solid, you know? And so that's not to say go me, but it's to say, on the one hand, I'm in awe of the power of something like Cloud Code. On the other, I am aware of and mildly terrified by what that means in terms of the concentration of power and centralization. And so, as goes with money, so goes with intelligence, right? We have this choice to make, the harder path to self-custody and have self-sovereign AI and intelligence and agents, or the easier path, which I am, again, deeply guilty of at this point, is to do the thing that is easier, better UX, frankly, more powerful, these frontier models. So, you know, again, kudos. And I think it's just to underscore the importance of being able to truly unlock AI and agents for individual empowerment and growth and benefit. I interviewed a guy, turn this into a bit of a monologue here, but I interviewed a brilliant fellow, John Robb, a few weeks ago. And his perspective, and I'd love to get your take on this, is that AI is a force that, much like reaching and exceeding the speed of light, is starting to thin out the molecules in a way that they accelerate into a column and reach a breakaway speed, and off you go. And I've just butchered all the physics. But the point is, we're hitting a point where you either sort of attach yourself to this train and you become AI literate and competent and capable, and you might, you know, sort of hope to get some of the great benefit that will unfold over the next 10 years, or you're toast, right? And you become a puppet to the machines. And that's dramatic and blackpilling, and that's not really my point, but I think it paints a picture. And so that's all to bring it back to, you know, talk to me a little more, Roland, about your perspective on why it is so important that we are able to do what you just described, which is that without KYC, without gatekeepers, without middlemen, you can spin up something as powerful as OpenClaw and have it go about the business of helping you personally, professionally, you know, take advantage of what AI offers.
So you have a few things there. So pay-per-Q, you pay with Bitcoin, but you do get access to all the frontier models. So it's not,
absolutely,
I wouldn't say it's any different than signing up with your credit card and kind of going directly to the centralized provider. I mean, PPQ is like...
Except in fairness, you're probably going to spend about 5x, right? Versus a Claude Code Max plan. And that's not the shill for Claude, but I think it's a real barrier right now.
Yeah, yeah. So I think they definitely subsidize, right, the plans compared to API access.
No question.
Yeah, So that's one thing. The other thing, I think you're right, AI is going to be a massive disruptor, right? People are going to have to learn. Some people are going to lose their jobs. Any job that can be automated will be automated, right?
Yes.
But at the same time, and I've heard people a lot smarter than me, I think on this podcast I mentioned before as well, that the people working on AI, they've been working harder and longer hours than ever. So if you start using AI, I think at least there are going to be jobs, there are going to be a lot of jobs. It's just that the job that you previously had is not going to be there anymore. You're going to have to do something more creative, more, you have to work with the AI to do something that the AI can't do on its own, right? But I think overall it's great for humanity, society, right? I saw the stat, like, I think 80% of people work at jobs because they have to, for the money, right? Not because they enjoy it. And
at least.
Yeah, and I think this is, like, terrible, at least for me. Like, I've had that in the past when I worked at a job, and it just, like, after a few years, it's just so soul sucking that I just feel like,
yes,
completely exhausted. And I was lucky that I had a different option, and not, some people don't, right? They're forced to do this for their whole life. And, you know, so I really hope that this revolution, I mean, it's going to be tough for people. People are going to have to change and adapt and be uncomfortable, learn new things, right? But I think once they get past that barrier and they kind of change their outlook on life, change how they have to rapidly learn, rapidly adapt. But I think it's incredibly rewarding.
Unlearning and relearning will continue to be the two most valuable personal skills.
Yeah. So how Bitcoin fits in here? I think there's two different ways. And I think it goes back to what you were saying about, giving my agent access to my credit card. And I think a lot of people, which I would definitely not recommend, is like they give their agent access to their own accounts. Basically, the agent operates on their behalf, right? Whereas mm-hmm. I would see your agent as like a personal assistant. It's its own identity. It has its own, Nostra is perfect for this, right? Its own key pairs. It has its own email account. It has its own AI token account. Its activity is completely separate from you, right?
I'll post it in the link and just, I built a skill that's up on OpenClaw to bootstrap an agent onto Nostr. And with the same mnemonic, it boots up a CocoaD cashew wallet. So it's got its key pair, it's got its cashew wallet, and off it goes, right? And again, not a developer. So the accessibility of this stuff is accelerating.
Yeah, I think this is going to be super important as unfortunately things seem like in the traditional world, right? They're becoming more and more dystopian. More and more censorship, more shutting down. If all your activity and your agent's activity is tied to your own name, I think they're going to be really big problems. And the fact that you can just set up a separate agent with its own wallet, its own identity, it's kind of separate from you, right? You main control of your own actions. You still control. You can give your agent as much autonomy as you want. You can still have control, a level of control as you need, but whatever it does is kind of separate. I think
absolutely.
They're very important.
So Roland, both in terms of Bitcoin and AI agents, for someone who's listening, they have their Bitcoin on an exchange, maybe they're dabbling with ChatGPT. What are the first steps that they should take, both with regard to self-custody of their Bitcoin and becoming more familiar with how not just to be a user of AI, but a builder? What would you suggest that they dive into?
A few things. If they have money on an exchange, I would recommend take it off this exchange. There's a really cool feeling, right, when you realize that just with 12 words, you can travel the world. Your money, if you fly on the plane, your money arrives in the country before you do. It's everywhere you go, and it cannot be taken from you. It cannot be confiscated. Maybe it's a bit scary. You have to take that responsibility, right? But I think today with hardware wallets and you know, seed backups and stuff, it's pretty easy. I think for most people, just single sig is fine. I mean, there's different opinions about that. I think more complexity leads to more risk of loss of funds, right? And that's probably what a lot of people are worried about, and maybe why they would rather someone else take responsibility of their money. But at the same time, if you let someone take responsibility of your money, then that's the issue we're having now, right? With the state having too much control and using your money against you, basically. So that would be the first thing. The other thing, I mean, even though AI is such a disruptive thing and people maybe are worried about it, on the other hand, I think it's easier than ever to get started building stuff, right? Just with a single English phrase, you can build an app now. And that's one really cool thing that we've been working on the last couple of months is, you mentioned it, this thing called skills, which is kind of like giving your AI agent specific knowledge. So we have one for Albie to build Bitcoin apps. So if you give the skill to your agent, Claude Code or ChatGPT, whatever it is, Codex, I think, is the OpenAI version. It can add payments to apps like with one shot, and actually get it right and not like hallucinate. And this is something just like in the last few months that has become possible, and it's like a huge jump. Before, whatever, lot they'll play around with AI and things will break all the time, right? And you just get frustrated. But there's been a huge jump recently.
You know, I'm reminded of the scene in the Matrix where Neo, he jacks in and is it karate? I forget which martial art.
Yeah,
so he goes from right. He goes from I don't know kung fu to I'm a master, and those are we're not quite there, right? But I mean, that's the way I think about skills.
Yeah,
for agents.
Yep.
So yeah, and I think well, so maybe to finish that, what do you think is the first approachable step? In terms of, again, building on, not just consuming the product of AI.
You mean building your own application?
So what might you recommend to a family member? You know, you're out hacking on OpenClaw and you're a developer. What would you say to a family member who you would want, just as with Bitcoin, to take a bit more control of as opposed to just be a consumer of?
Yeah, I haven't approached a family member yet, but I think OpenClaw would be the thing. Not because it's very new technology, it's very buggy, but it's very clear. If you get this Telegram message working, you get the simple flow working, people can really see the value, the magic behind it, I think.
Absolutely.
So and I mean OpenClaw is not as good at like coding or something, but for the average person, it's fine. They can build stuff. It's very much general purpose AI, right? It's very good.
And you can get it there. Like I basically rebooted mine. I've tried a couple of things, and it's been an interesting experiment. From as I say, building a skill where it can get itself on Nostr and post and pay and all this, which is novel and interesting. I then tried the chief of staff, which then spins up all of the functional agents. And, you know, I burned through my Claude Max Pro 2X plan for the week in a day. That was a bad, wow. that was a bad outcome, but a great learning experience. And now I have gleaned from a bunch of very talented developers how to really refine, you know, a very lean dev team, you know, and using Codex 5.3 to code versus Opus 4.6 to think and plan, you know, all these things. So I think to your point, it's evolving and it's far from perfect, but I agree with you that it's a great place to start. So Roland, let's wrap up here. Where is Albi in a year? What are you building that will further change how people think about use money and maybe AI agents?
Yeah, so maybe if we tie that back to our journey with Albi Hub the last 2 years, now I think we have such a strong foundation, right? We have the self-custodial wallet that's able to connect to any sort of application service. We have this really good foundation. Albi Hub itself is actually used by Albi to charge subscription payments for people who subscribe. Like we're dog fooding more and more of our projects every day, powered by Albi Hub. So I think right now we're going much into a more experimental phase to see what sort of use cases can be built with Albi Hub. I think AI is going to make a big part of that. The other thing we're working on is further improving like our developer experience, for example, our experience for small to medium-sized businesses. So they if they use Albi Hub, you know, accounting, transaction labeling, stuff like that, to more easily operate and have less headaches when at the end of the year when they have to do accounting and things like that. We'll be doing additional refinement. Actually, I didn't mention yet, we did recently release a huge improvement to our developer experience, which I think is quite interesting. I think I'm proud to say I'm pretty excited that I think we brought Albi actually to the absolutely forefront, the best tool for developing with agents. And there's kind of three parts to that. So I already mentioned that the skill, right, that you give to your agent, you install Kung Fu in this case, you install
the jack in the back of the brain. Yeah.
You install Nostra Wallet Connect, Albi knowledge, how to use Albi tools. But we have another thing called Nostra Wallet Connect Faucet. And if you know about test networks, it's a common thing where you like, when you're building an app, you won't use mainnet Bitcoin, you'll use a testnet Bitcoin and
play money.
Yes, play money. But we made one play money for Nostra Wallet Connect. So it's another a level above Lightning, actually. It's kind of like you can almost think of it. So there's on-chain Bitcoin, then there's Lightning, and then Nostra Wallet Connect is like a third layer above. And it basically gives the agents ability to spin up these fake Nostra Wallet Connect wallets, as many as they need. And this is super powerful because it means the agent can actually write end-to-end test cases when it's building and actually test the whole flow of the app. So it can even spin up like a browser, you know, go through the app, spin up these wallets, make real payments, and test the whole flow without a human having to, you know, manually test.
That is amazing. And I mean, for anyone who is a developer, they'll know, it will be obvious to them that the ability to write these unit tests and to be able to truly stress test all components of the flow from, you know, inception of an action to complete payment, that's tremendous.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited.
I can see it in your face. That's awesome.
Yeah. Because I spent a lot of time and I was looking at you know, Spark and Arc, maybe we can talk about that a bit. But I also excited, like, so I was trying to find a way, how can we make the onboarding even easier? But when we really stepped back and looked at what the developer experience is from the beginning, how you build apps, actually not even having to create a wallet for yourself is even better, right? So not even like a wallet without channels or a custodial wallet, but just a completely fake wallet that just works like a normal one. You don't have any issues with testnet coins. You don't have any issues with opening channels. All of that is just thrown out the window. And what you do is just focus on building your app. And so I think this is really awesome. This is a huge achievement from us. So I think over the next year, I'm going to be excited to see people using it and see what people can build with, especially with AI agents this year.
Incredible. Well, we're going to do another one of these for sure, Roland. This is just so much great stuff going on. I really appreciate your time today. It's exciting what you're building. Thanks for Albi. Thanks for Albi Hub, Albi Go, and all the great work. I use it every single day.
You too, Sean. Thanks for having me on the show.
Pleasure. Talk soon.
See you later.